Amen. Praise God. Well, what a blessing to be here with you all, and above all, we enjoyed our time celebrating our grandchildren. Jen and Elijah, they have been awesome. You know, they have hosted us and took us to the beach. We enjoyed being there. My wife and I, we have been married for many, many, many years. And I'm not going to reveal how many years, but it has been joyful time. You know, Ruth is the love of my life. From the time when I saw her, I knew we were going to have an Elijah. That's the truth. That's the truth. I remember telling my wife when we were expecting, I said, I promise you something. You know, don't even dare to buy clothes for the little girl. And the name is Elijah. Elijah was born at a revival. We were at a revival. And I, just like yesterday, I remember, you know, signs and wonders were happening. And at that moment, I was praying, and there was a man who had an hunchback. And that man, it just snapped like a gun in that place, boom. And he grew a little bit tall. And my wife came and tapped me. He says, I don't know, I think the water have just broken. And you know, I was so zealous because we had found a nice place where our firstborn child was going to be born. I held the womb of my wife. I said, in the name of Jesus, this child will wait until we are back home. And one of the ladies from Canada, she was a midwifery, and she was a registered nurse. She says, David, have you ever helped a woman giving birth? I says, no, mom. He says, well, it looks like you're about to do so now. He says, I've just been talking to your wife, and she's ready. And we jumped in the vehicle. I left people, signs and wonders were happening there. And we ran over, you know, to the hospital. And as I was getting things and my wife was being wheeled in, someone ran out. He says, you are just 2 minutes late. Elijah's here. And Elijah, yesterday, we celebrated his 36th birthday. Amen. It's been a blessing. And our daughter also chose, and says, our last born daughter, her name is Joanna, says, well, I'm not going to be outdone with my brother. I'm getting born on the same day he was born. So yesterday, my daughter was calling us and says, Dad, what's the word for me? I says, the word is that you are blessed beyond measure. And we love you. But today we are with your brother and your sister-in-law and your nephew and the niece. So it has been a blessing. Anyway, my name, I don't know whether Elijah told you what his name means. It means someone who loves to drink water. So when you say Shemende, in our vernacular language, you're saying, I love to drink water. So, you know, when I became born again and a Christian, I changed that name. I said, we drinking the living waters. So we are the living waters. We are not only the Shemindas, but we are the living waters. But today I'm so excited. I want to preach a message entitled, Show Me Your Glory, which is a community message. Here's something that I want to share a little bit. And you may take your seats. Praise the Lord. I'm going to be praying in a minute. Because I can preach whilst you're standing. My son knows that. Yeah. So here's something that I'm excited about. Where I come from, Africa, we believe, and I mean, you have heard sometimes politicians, they have used this slogan a little bit wrong, but it's a true thing. It takes a village to raise a child. So where we come from, Africa, you know, for me to raise a child, it requires everyone. So when people, they see my son, normally they don't mind about his name, that is Elijah, or any of my children. So they say, this is the son of David and Ruth. And me and my wife, we call ourselves by the name of our son, the father of Elijah, the mother of Elijah. And when my son does something out there, because the community, they don't identify him with himself alone, that he is just another on his own. They identify him from the family where he comes from. So they say, the son of Shemenda is the one who have broken the law. The son of Shemenda is the one who have done A, B, C, D. So if he has done something good, the one who is doing something good is the son of Shemenda. So it puts the responsibility on the family and the community. So when Elijah went to visit his grandparents, my wife's parents before they passed, he called us one day. He says, Dad, when people that meet me here, I tell them, my name is Elijah. And everybody is saying, this is the son of David and Ruth. He says, everywhere. He says, even when I go to preach in the church, they introduce me, this is the son of David and Ruth. He says, so I stood in the church. I said, my name is Elijah. So I said, well, it's okay, son. What they are doing in Africa, we are a community. As when your child grows up, Justice and Elijah, they'll be saying once he goes to Africa, he will not be known as Justice. He'll be known, this is the son of Elijah and Jen. So because they want to see the responsibility that the parents they have on their child. So I hope we give you a good responsibility on Elijah. Is he a good man? Yes. You can still call me. I want us to read the word of God, then I'm going to pray, then I'll go into the message for a few minutes here. I want to hold you. My son told me, take a few minutes, Dad. Then Moses said to him, if your presence doesn't go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I'll do the very thing you have asked me because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. Then Moses said, this is where my theme comes from, show me your glory. And the Lord said, I'll cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I'll proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence, and I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. But he said, You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Show us your glory. Can we all say those words? Show us your glory. One more time. Show us your glory. Father, today we want to seek your holiness, your presence, your glory. So that, oh God, those that are here that have come with ailments or disease or sickness, problems, financial difficulties, oh God, as they see your glory, all their burdens will be wiped out. Lord, touch each and everyone here today in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a man by the name of John Newton. I wonder how many of you have heard of him. One of the things that John Newton said, man is capable of three births. By nature, he enters into the present world. Then by grace, into the spiritual light and life. And by death, in glory. But there's one thing that I want us to remember today, that God has given us that glory. What was Moses' desire when he said, "Show me your glory"? There's something that I want us to understand here, is that Moses at that moment was coming from the most difficult, troubling time. You must remember Moses had run away from Egypt, where he was living well, because he realized that the people of his own country, his mother's tribe, his father's tribe, the Israelites, they were being tormented. And he took the authority to say, "I'm not going to see my people suffer the way how they are suffering. I want to see something completely different." And I believe this is the reason why churches are there today. We want to get to the level where we say, we don't want to see people in the streets that are shooting. We don't want to see the people in the streets that are prostituting themselves. We don't want to see people in the streets that are robbing others. We don't want to see people in the streets doing all kinds of evil things. We want to see everyone united and be in one position. And Moses began to realize, to say, how can we do this? Moses' desire, it was a glorious desire, with of the men who uttered it, and the occasion of which he spoke about it. So Moses there, he says, "Show me your glory." It was reaching out of the dark dispensation after the gospel light. He knew that the baggage that was behind them was terrible. Where they were going, it was difficult. He didn't know how he was going to go through all these things. Though he had seen the burning bush, though he had seen his hands turning to lepers and his hands again turning in better form, though he had seen the Lord that he had turning into a serpent, he still wanted more. I believe you and I, when we have seen those miracles, the burning bush, the road turning into the serpent, we can say, "This is enough, God." But Moses, this was not enough. He cried, "Show me your glory." It was a man who had great things given to him, so he was still asking for me. The question that I have today for each and every one of us is, are you hungering and desiring for more things before God? How many I desire to say, "God, what I have now is not enough. I want to get into your depth. I want to honor you, God. In exception, you touch me, I'm not moving from this place. I desire your glory." How many are desiring the hand of God upon their lives? He had the law. Moses had was given the law. He had the presence. And now, from reality, he was moving upwards to the only thing above it, the glory, which was the presence of God. You and I, in America, we have everything. We have the food, we can drive, we can go anywhere, but there are still people who desire not to go to the house of God. There are still people who cannot tell somebody what God has done into their lives. There are still people that just think the church is just a club, a social club, where you just go and hear a good word and come home and live the way how you are living. But I want to let you know, when you begin to desire God, things changes. Your life will never be the same again. Now, that was the right field of desire. Moses was desiring something there, something beyond the present attainment, taking the mercies of God given as a stepping stone to a higher place. We have all seen the grace of God. Now, what is it that we are desiring for God to do in our lives? What is it? We know we are saved. We know we love God. We know we sing hymns and we sing worship songs. By the way, the worship was beautiful. Amen. Hallelujah. And very anointed. Moses was still saying, oh, this is not enough. What is enough? I need the glory of God. You know, I'm a man that believes in miracles, signs and wonders. I believe the blind eye should see. I believe the crippled legs that are crooked should rise and walk. My son, when he was pastoring in Buffalo, one of his church member passed away on the memorial. It was done at the church where I was. And the sister to that young lady that had passed away through overdose came, you know, to me and says, there's a lady here that is crippled. She has not walked for a long time. And I said, well, let everything that you're doing finish and we'll see what we can do. God will summarize everything. And at that moment, it was the time when the Golden Star, am I right? The basketball. Golden Star Warriors and the Toronto Raptors, they were playing basketball. Now, my wife will tell you that, you know, one of the things that you can slow my husband to pray is whenever there's sports. So I whispered to my son, I said, I'm going to watch basketball a little bit. I said, when they need me, please let me know. And I sneaked out. And when I started watching basketball, and at the time where, you know, Steph Curry and Durant, they were throwing those goals, it was so good. My son walked in, he says, Dad, what are you doing here? I said, what? He says, they're waiting for you. I said, just tell them to come next week. And my son says, no, Dad, that's not right. He says, we got to go. So I stood there with a little bit of an attitude. And I said, okay, let's go. And I reached there, I found one of my good friends. His name is Lou James. I said, did you want to see a miracle? He says, yes. I said, come up with me. And when we came, I said, where's the young lady? True story, they can tell you. Maybe they have already told you. He says, he's out there. And they were just about to wheel her in the chair, and I can't remember her name now. And I said, what was her name? I said, hey, you want to go in the wheelchair? You want to walk? He says, I want to walk. I said, stand up. There was just something that rose inside me. And immediately that young lady stood up and started walking to and fro. And when she reached where she was saying, people, they said, what is happening? He says, they prayed for me. The following day, she brought most of the people that were in the wheelchair. How many believe God is able to do something? How many believe God is a healer today? But we got to seek the glory of God. We got to seek something that is beyond human expectation. We got to get to the level where we say, God, not my will, but your will be done. We got to abandon ourselves and say, dear God, I'm tired of seeing what I see every day. I want to see more of you. How many believe more of God is powerful? There are three kinds of glory. The glory, number one glory, is the glory of circumstance that addresses itself to our human senses. This glory limits us to what God is doing. Because this is the glory that will show us the gold and the silver, the diamonds, and we think of what we're going to eat after church. We think of what we are going to put on. We think of what we are going to leave. Christians, we go through those things. The glory of surrounding angels. Do you know that you are surrounded with the angels? My wife and I, in every home that we have lived in, I have reached to this point where I said, God, from the first shovel, the soul that was dug out, to the first brick that was laid on the foundation, I cover it with the blood of Jesus, to the last nail on the roof. God, surround this house with nothing but the angels of God. May your blood encompass us around, that no demonic forces will see where we are. May the power of God invade us, oh God. May the community, when they pass by this place, let them know that there's something that is happening at that house. And it's for sure, I remember one time when we used to live in Melbourne Beach in Florida. We had a house, my wife and I, and we prayed like that. We had our neighbor by the name of Michael Gillard. He says, I have never seen the floodlight like the light that you have at your home. He says, did you bring it from Africa? I says, no, we brought nothing but the suitcases and my children and my wife. He says, what? He says, because that light, he says, we wait and it comes around 10:30 living there. And all our house and we sleep over there. Me and my wife, we used to fight. We have stopped. Our marriage has become the best marriage ever since we observed that light there. And it changed their lives. Michael Girardi said to me, he says, David, I want to be your driver everywhere you go. And I told him, I said, come in the evening. I'll show you we have no lights outside. We didn't even have the security light. I said, all what we have is Jesus. That light that you have is the glory of God. Moses was crying and said, show me your glory. How many are crying today, God, I just want to hold on to the glory of God. I don't want to go back home the same way I came in. I want something to snap inside me. I want your presence to be with me. I want your glory in my life. I wish somebody can shout glory. Well, I'm sorry if you don't shout, but I come from Africa where we do everything by praising God. When we begin to shout, believe me, you better have insurance to your roof because it will come down. Praise God. Hallelujah. The glory of divine wisdom. How many people, they have no wisdom in everything that they do? We need that wisdom to let God move and minister to our lives. Then the second glory is the glory, the moral glory, such as the Lord Jesus Christ upon the face of the earth on John chapter 1 verse 14 when he says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us and we have seen his glory. The glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. There is that glory that God is showing us. Then the other thing that we see there, the third one, the glory of the senses or conscience that everything returns back to the Creator. I think you and I, we should be sensitive to know that the time that we are living upon the face of the earth is just a borrowed time. We need a God. If we don't have God, we're in trouble. We need the presence of God. Moses was in this place whereby he realized the children of Israel, they are so rebellious, despite they have seen the waters part. They're still fighting for something. How can I help them? We need the glory of God. Amen? Amen. Now, this is the reason why Moses demanded God's glory. He desired to behold the manifestation of who God was and to bring change into the children of Israel. That to me was a community thing. These were rebellious people that didn't know what was happening. Moses said, You know, the only way how we succeed and survive is to understand the manifestation of God and to allow the holiness. Remember when Moses came from the mountain place there, they begged him, go back. You can come in our praises. There's just so much over you. We can't even look at you. Moses has to retreat back and seek who God was. And when he retreated, he realized, he says, there's nothing that we can do here in exception I have God by my side. There are four things that I want to conclude with them. These are the four things that I'm going to conclude. Moses, one of the first things that he demanded, I want to know your ways, God. Moses wanted to understand how God operates so that he might save him better. For you to know God better, you better come to the place where you say, God, I want to know your ways. Yielded and surrendered. I give myself in all and all. You know, here's the problem today. You can't look at the mountain and say, I've been on the mountain. You have to climb it. There are so many people today that says, I've been to the mountain. They never dared to climb the mountain. We need to get to the level where we understand what God is doing. Moses said in Exodus 3, verse 13, now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me your way that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. This nation is God's people. What is going to change America is not politics. What is going to change America is God's people. Yeah. What is going to change Michigan is not politics. It's not economy. I want to let you know, when you know your God, even the economy bows down because the owner of the economy is in charge. How many believe when God is involved, everything that you touch succeeds? Everywhere where you step your foot, there's blessings. We got to get to the place where we know our God. Then Moses, the second thing that he said, I want to know his personhood. Moses had high demands. Do you think today us as Christians, we should ask things like that? We have stopped asking things like that. You know why? Because we are contented with little. But this man was not contented. Just imagine if I was to bring the whole commentary of Moses, from where he started, born and hidden in the basket. The first thing that you ask, where was all the animals, the reptiles of the sea and everything? Why did not the wave come by to get him away? And why did literally the mother be the one who is chosen to go and feed him? There would have been an accident that they would have chosen another woman. But God had already centered it and prepared it and said, your mother will still feed you. In the night, I believe Moses was taken in the presence of God. And God was holding him. And at the time when the mother was to come and said, oh my God, let's take back the baby. Because how good was that basket that literally, there was no water in there, and the child was not having, you know, all the kind of the cold and, you know, just hypothermic diseases and so forth. It's because God's hand was with him. Moses wanted more evident manifestation of God's presence so that he might follow God's better. What else do we find? Moses says, I want from your personhood, now I want to know your presence. How many are ready? Raise your hand if you're ready to have the presence of God here. How many are ready for the presence of God? You better begin to tell yourself within yourself, I'm not living here. I want God's presence. That issue, that I'm facing today is going to go because God's presence is going to be in my life. I'm not going to walk out of this place until God does something. It takes a step of faith, childlike faith. I'm the man or the woman that God you promise. I'm a dangerous weapon in the hands of God. I used to say that when I was raising my children. These days I see most of the people say, how did you manage to raise your children? PK's children, they're the most difficult one. But you know what? I can promise you, none of my children gave me problem. None of my children went to jail. None of my children did I wonder where did they sleep today. None of my children, they had their own feud as brothers and sisters. But they didn't have problems and headache. Because every day I said, God, wherever my child is, may your presence arrest them. I'm reminded one time when Elijah and Emmanuel, they were going at a middle school. And when they reached there, the whole school, they started asking, who is your hero? And all these other guys mentioned, all their friends mentioned different names. You know, my hero is this one. My hero is this one. They went to Elijah's class and says, my hero is my dad and mom. They went to Emmanuel's class. Emmanuel says, my hero is my dad and mom. We didn't know, we didn't coach them, but we always told them what it means to stay in the presence of God. The headmaster called us and says, Mr. and Ms. Shamenda, we want you at Rockville Middle School. He says, what is it? I thought maybe my children, they have just drifted out of the presence of God. And we walked over there and says, what's happening here? He says, we want to thank you and we want to address the whole assembly. Honor your children. Some of them, they mentioned some rapsters. Some of them, they mentioned all these kind of things. But when it came to my children, they said, our hero is my dad, our dad and the mom. Because every day when I sent them, I said, I sent you among the holy angels. I sent you into the divine presence of God. Lord Jesus, when there is influence in the school, among peer pressures with their friends, catch them, Lord. Turn them around. Dip them into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let them know who you are. Turn them around. Let them glorify God. When they're about to do something that's not all right, let them say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Twist their tongue, oh God, to magnify your holy name. You better magnify the name that is above all other names. The final thing the worshipers can come back here is his glory. The glory of God. Moses wanted to see the glory of God so that he will be moved to a deeper relationship of worship. The glory of God brings you to a place where you know nothing but worship, where you are walking in the midst of everything, but you begin to worship God. You begin to magnify the name that is above another name. A year ago, my daughter and I, we went to a place called Lexington, Kentucky. I was invited to preach in the Church of God. And I told my daughter before we went there, we were in the car, says, Joanna, I want us to pray that God will manifest himself like never before. I didn't see what everybody saw. But I saw the pastor standing up and say, something happened in here. I saw my daughter bowing down when I was preaching and knelt to the ground and a number of the people. And they said that they saw a bright light moving from one end to another. The glory of God was there. that pastor said, so many people that were healed, signs and wonders, miracles. God is here, church. His presence is here right now. He's able to perform things that you have never believed he can. He can heal that kid that I've given you problems. Emphysema can go now. Your back problem, your migraine headache, your worry, your confusion, your commotion, the marriage that is at the verge of breaking, he can mend it together. He's a unifier. You better cry out to God of glory. You better call him. That's why back home in Africa, we love the song, you are Alpha. You are the Omega. You are the beginning and the in-between. There's no ending. You are God who can do mighty things. You are God who can change people's lives. You are God who can transform human beings. You are God who can cause the cripple to rise and walk. Show me your glory. Show me your glory. Show me your glory. He's a God of all times. He's a God of yesterday. He's a God of today. He's a God of tomorrow. He's a God of your future. He's a God who can turn around all the things that you have gone through. When you worship such a God, somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you're ready, you say, preacher, I want you to pray for me. Just rise up where you are, and I'm going to pray for you. Whatever you believe in God, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you the glory, the honor. You are not compared to anything that is alive. You are God who performs signs and wonders. There's no gimmick, there's no magic in you. There's just the hunger of saying, I need a God of signs and wonders. Father, right now, sweep over this place. Touch each and everyone. Perform miracles. Make them whole. Bring total deliverance. Lord, I pray for a miracle right now. Thank you, God. The presence of God is here. Thank you, God.
We pray miracles.
Thank you, God,
in this place.
For the miracle. Thank you, God. Receive your miracle in Jesus' name. Come on, raise your hand if you're receiving your miracle. Receive your miracle. Be ready for your miracle. Receive your miracle in Jesus' name. Amen.
All we receive.